Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Show. Kate Archer Kent is out today. I'm Keeley Boltina. Last year at this time, my family piled into the minivan, found a parking spot, spilled out of our van and onto a school bus, and took a bumpy ride to a dairy farm for breakfast. One kid opted for white milk, two always choose chocolate. Everybody had string cheese. We topped it off with some of my favorite pictures, grinning next to cows. They didn't seem overly impressed, but we were. That's not happening this year, though. Some places are trying virtual or drive-through events, but of course it's just not the same. So we're talking about dairy farming right here with you. Are you a dairy farmer in Wisconsin? What's happening on your farm? Maybe you're a cheesemaker or just a fan of dairy. Tell us why. 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Our guest is Inga Witcher. She's a fourth-generation organic dairy farmer who owns and operates a small organic dairy farm here in Wisconsin. You may recognize her from PBS Wisconsin because she hosts Around the Farm Table. Inga, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Well, I mean, you live this life. What's it like on your farm in this pandemic?
Well, it hasn't really changed much for me because I'm not shipping milk. And I'm really not used to being around a ton of people anyway, so it feels pretty normal. It feels like this is something I've been preparing for a long time, of just being secluded on the farm. So me and the cows are having just kind of a normal time. We actually just started milking again. Our cows calved about a month ago, and so we're back at it again after a little bit of a break. We had our barn burned down in 2018, so it's been kind of a little ways getting back up and going, and now we're back milking cows and making cheese, which is a really good feeling.
Yeah. What does your dairy farm look like then? Tell us about the work that you're doing right now.
So I have a very small dairy farm. I call it a micro dairy. I am farming on 30 acres. We do rotational grazing on the farm. So what I do with the cows is I move them to fresh pasture every 12 hours. So after the morning milking, they go back out onto new grass. After the evening milking, they get another pasture of new grass. And so this way, the cows can spread their own manure. They get lots of exercise. I also get lots of exercise, which is good. And they're able to harvest their own feed. And then we take that milk, and my dad and I turn that into cheese. Right now, we're making a raw milk, aged English-style cheddar. So it's a hard cheese, and we're putting all the milk from our 8 Jersey cows into that cheese.
And we'll have to talk more cheese making this hour as we go through different topics with you. I do wonder, though, because you call yourself a micro dairy or a micro farm, and yet with your work on Around the Farm Table for PBS Wisconsin, you're talking to farmers all over Wisconsin in very different circumstances. What are you hearing from them, especially when they've got bigger or more complicated operations?
Well, I'm hearing from a lot of folks right now with this pandemic going on that a lot more customers are going directly to the farm to find their groceries. So a lot of my friends are selling out of their beef or their pork, or I think people are becoming more aware of where they're getting their food. I think people are becoming more aware of what we put into our bodies is either going to help us or hurt us. So they're trying to strengthen their immune systems with good nutrient-dense food. So it's been kind of exciting on that front to see the demand for locally produced healthy foods. And I see a lot more people are growing gardens too. When I went to go get my seeds for my garden this spring, the Seed Savers Exchange where I get my seeds, they were completely sold out, which was kind of exciting because everybody's starting to do that again. And I see a lot of challenges especially with dairy farmers right now. We lost, I think, over 800 dairy farms in just the state of Wisconsin in 2019, which is a lot of dairy farms. And it's a huge challenge because what do you do? This is something that's been in your family for generations. So if you're that generation that says, oh, now I'm going to have to sell the farm, that's a really, really tough thing. So I have had a lot of people asking, well, what's going to work? What should we do on our farm? And I really don't know the answer right now. We're trying to make it work here on our farm. And it's just, we have to kind of, you know, just see how things are going to go. And I think just be open to new ideas and experimenting with different things, agritourism, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, taking on new ideas, trying new things can be hard when you've done pretty much the same thing for generations.
Right. And it's hard. I mean, farmers have to be, they have to wear so many hats. I mean, it's soil scientists, it's accounting, it's, you know, and now we have to also be the face of our product and educating the consumer on what happens on a farm. So there's a lot of stuff going on, and it can be very, very overwhelming. So, and then also to be faced with how am I going to pay those bills? I mean, I know firsthand, it's just like, wow, what are we going to do? It's really stressful. So hopefully now with more people wanting to know where their food's coming from and wanting to have that connection with the farmer, maybe that's going to lighten the load a little bit going forward.
Inga Witcher is a fourth-generation organic dairy farmer, and she hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls, your questions, or your experiences in the industry, 800-642-1234. You can give us a call and let us know if you're a farmer or maybe you grew up on a farm and you have great memories of being here in Wisconsin and what that was like back in the day. Or maybe you're working on things right now. How is your farm doing? Has the pandemic affected the work that you do, or are you seeing increased business? 800-642-1234. Inga, since the start of the pandemic, you've taken to social media to keep PBS viewers engaged. You stopped filming in November, but last month you hosted a virtual home cooking demonstration through La Crosse Public Library. I mean, what is it like to make those connections from so far away across the computer screen?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's great to engage with people. I know it helps me a lot just to feel like I get to talk with somebody else besides my husband and my parents. Not that they're not great people to talk to, but it's nice to be able to reach out and talk to other people. And also, I think that right now people are looking for, more people are cooking at home. More people are looking what is seasonal. So it's fun to be able to connect with those folks. One of the things I really love about doing our television series is just the people that I get to meet along the way, whether that's the farmers that we're interviewing or the folks that I get to meet at cooking demonstrations and events that we have here on the farm. It really feels like we've been able to build such a huge family of people here in Wisconsin. And it's just one of the best parts about it. So if I can engage with those folks on social media with showing them a little bit of what's happening here on my farm, it's really a great feeling for me. Also, I realize how lucky I am that when I'm being quarantined, I'm on 30 acres of beautiful land. I have a stream coming through. I have sandhill cranes living on the farm and all this different wildlife happening. And I'm really lucky that I get to be in this spot. So I like to share that with other folks that may be watching from inside an apartment or not being able to get out on the land like I am.
So you're trying to, I guess, in a different way, take the farm into people's homes again.
Right, right. And one of my goals from the very beginning of starting my dairy farm was to educate people. I love what I do here on the farm, and I love the learning that I get to do here on the farm. So I like to also offer that up to everyone else and say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're working for us, or this is how we do this here on the farm. And I think it's just something I'm really passionate about. And I think that people are interested in hearing what's happening on farms.
Yeah, whether you're interested in finding out where your food is coming from or just want to better understand what's happening here in Wisconsin, certainly an opportunity to do that now that it is June Dairy Month. And we are talking with Inga Witcher, who is an organic dairy farmer. And also, if you recognize that voice, she hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. And we're taking your calls, sharing your experiences here on the Ideas Network, 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. Are you a farmer? Are you considering maybe starting to make cheese? Or tell us what's happening on your farm here in Wisconsin. Maybe you know some farmers or you miss farming. Tell us about that too. 800-642-1234. This conversation continues this hour of the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina. Wisconsin dairy farmers were already dealing with hardship as family farms shut down and the markets offered uncertainty. Then an international trade war affected their potential to make ends meet. And after that, a pandemic. We're talking about dairy farming, the happy notes and the real world challenges. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're taking your calls. Dairy farmers, how has milk production been? Have you seen a difference in milk prices affecting your operation? Are you meeting demand or have you had to dump any milk? Tell us what it's like in your part of Wisconsin by calling 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR Mornings. Inga Witcher hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin, also a dairy farmer, and we're talking about this morning. And Inga, last month, Governor Tony Evers announced a $50 million investment for direct payments to Wisconsin farmers. That's part of Wisconsin Farm Support Program. Farmers could receive money as early as this month. How much is this support needed from the state here in Wisconsin?
Oh, I think all support is needed from the state. I think it's just, a lot of farmers are producing milk at below cost, and there's bills that need to be paid. There's, everyone's out in the fields planting right now, buying fuel, buying seed, buying fertilizer, all this stuff. It's needed right now. This is the industry that we need at least three times a day when we're eating. And so anything that can come back to the industry is really, really important.
And eligible farmers can apply through the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. When you talk to farmers, what does it sound like they might do with I guess, any additional funding? Is it paying down debt? Is it trying to make ends meet? How are the finances generally of Wisconsin farmers?
Well, I know, like, for myself and the folks that I talk to, it's not like, oh, here comes a surplus of money and we're going to pay off some debt or whatever. It's getting by. So it's, paying the electricity bill, paying the feed bill, paying off those things that are just sitting on top of your chest saying, what's going to give? So the folks that I talked to, the friends that I talked to, were saying, hey, yeah, okay, we can, get a few bills paid off.
And just like with anybody's life, you just have to prepare for the unexpected. I mean, earlier you mentioned the fact that you had a major fire that destroyed your barn. And was it a new creamery then, too?
Right. Yeah, we were like a day away from putting the equipment into it for the creamery. So and then everything, we lost everything in November for our barn and our creamery. And then we lost all of our sheds later on that winter from snow load. So we basically started from scratch. Our cows, they survived. I'm sure they were just like, Inga, what are you doing to us? Like, what is happening on this farm? This is crazy. But so we got through the winter. And, it's never a joyous occasion having to get through something like that. But now it's like I'm sitting up on the pasture. I'm just waiting to get the cows in after we have our conversation. And then so I'm looking at the cows grazing, the farms in the background, the new barns in the background. And it kind of erases all those bad memories. And I think as farmers, like, we just have to be optimistic, especially dairy farmers. It's just something we have to be optimistic. We have to keep going. And I think that it just helps when you're going through those tough times to just take a second and just take a deep breath and maybe just think about three things that you're grateful for. So, like, just, oh, it's a beautiful morning today. That's one thing I'm grateful for. And it just kind of helps ease the load.
And you can also celebrate the fact that you're making cheese.
Right. Yeah, that was something that was a conscious decision that we made a few years ago. We started making cheese from the milk from my cows at a neighboring creamery, and we started testing out the market. And we knew that, for me on this amount of acres, it's always been a little bit tough to cash flow. And I knew I always wanted to make a value-added product on my farm. That's something that I just really love to do. And a few years ago, I said, well, with the price of milk, you never knowing what it's going to be. Now's the time. And it's really funny. Back in the 90s, when my parents were dairy farmers, they were facing similar situations with milk prices, with urban sprawl getting pushed out, things like that. So what they did with their farm is they said, well, we're going to sell the cows. We're not going to sell this place as a dairy farm. We're going to build a golf course on this land. And they built a sustainable golf course on their farm, and then they sold the farm. So it's kind of been in my genes to kind of like, oh, what can we do differently if this is not working? So I'm really fortunate to have them to look, to be lead my path for me. So we're making a cheese here. And this way too, it's so amazing to be able to be a part of the entire process. So like I said, right now I'm just sitting with the cows out in the field and I'm watching them graze. And I know tomorrow I'm going to be turning that grass that they're turning into milk into cheese. And there's something just really exciting about that. And it's a story I get to share with other people as I'm having them taste the cheese.
Inga Witcher is a fourth-generation organic dairy farmer who lives in Osseo. You can join our conversation by calling 800-642-1234. Where are you this morning? Are you in the field? Are you just finishing up or maybe just starting milking? What's happening on your farm? Tell us what it's like for you. Help us understand whether we're in Milwaukee or Superior. Share your story with Wisconsin at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. Inga, why is it cheese making? Why is that the next step? And how did you figure out that that was the right answer when you're looking at ways to be creative and kind of push it a little bit on your farm?
Well, I knew for me, when I was in my 20s, I was a cheesemaker in Virginia. So I had that experience already. And I really love the process. Obviously, I love cooking. I love turning the vegetables from my farm into meals to be shared with people. So I knew that was something that I was really interested in. And I also knew that this was my other love is cows and dairy farming. I mean, people always say to me, well, why don't you just sell the cows and do something else? Because I have to have cows. I love this so much. I love being with the cows. I love managing the farm. I love being out here in the nature. So I had to figure out a way to be able to pay the bills and be here. And I knew that if I put my milk into cheese, I can get a little bit more for that milk rather than just shipping it off to a creamery. So, and I knew that what we have here is really unique. We're doing a farmstead cheese. So what farmstead means is that the cows are milked here. The cheese is made here on the farm. And a lot of the, you know, there's a handful of farmstead creameries, cheesemakers in Wisconsin, and I knew I wanted to be a part of that group. And it's like, for me too, it's like I get to be a part of that process from the beginning to the end. Some days at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, do I have to be part of the entire process? But it's fun, you know, it's fun to go to bed at night and say, oh, wow, I'm really, really tired. But I knew to be sustainable financially on the farm, I needed to do this product. And again, it's a way for me to share my farm with other people.
Yeah, except this is Wisconsin. It is made of cheese. I mean, the cheese stakes are pretty high here.
Right. Well, I hope that'll make me up my game a little bit.
I like it. There are the rules and regulations also that you had to follow here in Wisconsin, right?
Right. So in Wisconsin is the only state that requires a cheesemaker's license. So luckily, my dad went out and got his cheesemaker. My dad is also the co-creator and one of the producers of our show Around the Farm Table. So we work together a lot. And so he's also my cheesemaker right now. The pay is terrible, but he gets to spend all day with me. So I think that's a good thing for him, right?
Absolutely. So yes, we can agree on that.
It's Father's Day every day. So he's our licensed cheesemaker. So he had to take classes in Madison to get a cheesemaker's license. Then he had to apprentice, I think, for 240 hours under another cheesemaker and then take a test. So my husband went to Madison, I think, last year to take the class. So he's going to be apprenticing to be a cheesemaker as well. I'm apprenticing right now to get my hours in. And it's funny, like I've made cheese for way long, but I have to do the apprenticeship in Wisconsin under a licensed cheesemaker. So I'm getting my hours in again so that I can take my test soon. And then maybe my dad and I will be the only licensed cheesemakers in TV too. That would be kind of fun.
Right. Father-daughter duo, TV, and also cheesemakers.
But it's, you know, I was talking to my husband about it and he was saying, like, I really want to get my cheesemaker's license because it's kind of like a big deal, you know, when in the cheese world around the nation too, to say, I'm a licensed Wisconsin cheesemaker, because everyone, people know that Wisconsin is the cheese state. And so it's kind of like a little feather in your cap, which is exciting.
All right. Well, we're going to keep talking cheese here on The Morning Show. We've got Inga Witcher with us. She owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Are you a cheesemaker here in Wisconsin? How long have you produced cheese? What types of cheese do you make? Or maybe you just like to eat cheese. We take those calls, too. Tell us about what your favorite Wisconsin cheese is. If you buy it from a farm or in store, you can give us a call. call at 800-642-1234. You can also email us by sending a message to ideas@WPR.org. And we're also on Twitter at WPR Mornings. We've got this conversation for the hour here on The Morning Show, so don't hesitate. Pick up the phone and give us a call now. Maybe you just want to help us understand what's happening on your dairy farm here in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and news is up next. A bit of advice this morning. Wait until you aren't hungry to click on the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin website. Recipes posted there include aged cheddar rhubarb upside down cake, mini fruit pizzas with two kinds of cheese topped with blueberries and raspberries, and a summer cheese board. Honestly, what else do we need? We're talking about dairy this hour of The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. And we're taking your calls and questions about cheese making and milk and more. What questions do you have about the process? What experiences do you have on dairy farms? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We've got a line for you at 800-642-1234. Inga Witcher is a fourth-generation organic dairy farmer, and she hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. She's here talking with us about dairy, and we're focusing on cheese right now. Because Inga has just told us about the process of making cheese on her farm. She's making farmstead cheese. What flavors do you make? Are there different things that you choose to do with the cheese, Inga?
We don't do any flavors. So the only thing that flavors our milk is the grass. And we want the cheese to be a little slightly different depending on what the cows are grazing on. So right now they're grazing in my old garlic field. A few years ago, I was experimenting with, we're always experimenting here on the farm, I was experimenting with growing garlic, and now there's like little garlic that never got harvested that's kind of popping up in this field, so I'm hoping maybe the cows are going to eat it, and it's going to give a little bit of a garlic flavor to the cheese. But I really believe because of the diet of our cows, because that is one of my huge main focuses here, is that I believe that cows should be eating grass. They can take this sustainable, renewable resource of grass and turn it into milk and meat. And that is one of the things that I think is just incredible about cows. So we take just the milk from those cows. And right now, that milk is like sunset yellow. It's just beautiful because of what they're getting out of the grass. So we take that milk. And one thing that we do is we always handle the milk gently. So when the cows come in the barn, I milk them into buckets. I don't milk by hand. I have a machine that milks them. But the milk gets flowed into a bucket. And then I take that bucket and I pour it into the milk tank. So what's happening there is the milk is not being pumped all the time. And the fat in the milk is able to stay together. So that when we go to make cheese, there's more fat globules in the milk because of the way that we handle it. And it's maybe not the easiest way to handle it, but it's the way that we find that we can really make the best cheese. And then once we get that process, everything we do is really, it's amazing. Like I was really thinking the other day, my dad and I were in making cheese and I kind of stir the curd a little bit with my hand, breaking up little pieces of the cheese curd. And I was thinking, wow, we're really involved in this process. And this is the art of it, right? Is just like being in there and putting our happy thoughts. And I remember the cheesemaker who taught me how to make cheese said, always be positive when you're making cheese, because that cheese will soak in whatever you're putting out. So we always have to be positive and humming a beautiful song. And it's just like, you know, it's a really fun experience of just putting our heart and soul into these cheeses.
Patrice in Lake Mills wants to join our conversation. Hey, Patrice.
Hi. That's a perfect transition because as a cheese consumer, I'm concerned about supporting CAFOs. I don't want to support large factory farms. I want to support the smaller family farms. And how do I do that at a regular grocery store? What do I look for to make sure that I'm not giving my money to big corporations.
Patrice, thanks for that question. Yeah, where do you start if you want to make sure you're supporting small farms at the grocery store, Inga?
Well, I think that if you want to find nice cheeses and support small farms, I think that you just need to ask questions. So, like, what I would do is I would talk with Fromage Nation in Madison, which is a wonderful cheese shop. The folks behind the counter are really, really educated about what cheeses that they have and what farming practices that are going to those cheeses. So if you're looking for something, I would ask directly to there. I know that when I used to ship milk to Westby Creamery, I know that they're made up of smaller family farms. So if you're looking for that Westby label, that might be a way to go. Organic Valley always has smaller farms. And really just educating yourself, looking at those labels, researching what goes into it. I totally understand wanting to support the smaller farmers. That's what I made my basis of my career really out of. So it's just talking with those people and going to the farmer's market and finding those folks at a farmer's market. But it's as a consumer, you also have to educate yourself. As farmers, we're trying constantly to educate the consumer, but also as a consumer, you have to educate yourself. So just looking at those labels, Googling where it came from, and just finding out the backstory.
Patrice, I hope that helps you better or pick more of the local cheeses that you're looking for at the grocery store. Thanks for giving us a call at 800-642-1234. There's still a line for you if you're looking to tell us what your favorite Wisconsin cheese is, or maybe you're part of a cheese making process or you've always wanted to do that. Perhaps you are a dairy farmer here in Wisconsin. What should we know? 800-642-1234. We're talking with Inga Witcher about it here on The Morning Show. And Inga, Patrice's question is really aimed at grocery stores. And earlier in our conversation, you mentioned making connections, people looking to buy directly from a farm. If you don't know a farmer, if you don't have those connections, where do you start if you're looking to support local farmers, whether it's dairy or other products they make?
In Wisconsin, we have what's called the Farm Fresh Atlas. So there's a different Farm Fresh Atlas for every region of Wisconsin. And you can go online and find that online. A lot of times you can pick it up at your local food co-op and different grocery stores like that. It's a little magazine. And it'll show you all the farmers in your area that do direct-to-consumer marketing. So if you're looking for that, burger or rhubarb or anything else, you can look in that Farm Fresh Atlas, and it'll have a directory. So that's a great place to start.
Yeah,
also, you can watch around the farm table.
There you go. Excellent. Well, the flip side to that is that it sounds like you have farmers who've reached out to you about cheese making. What do you tell people who are interested in getting into this?
I tell them it's wonderful. It's a lot of work, and you really have to already love doing it before you invest the money in it. So make sure that you like it before you build everything.
How do you figure out if you like cheese making? How does that work?
You have to go do it. If anybody wants to come volunteer at my place for a little while, let me know. You can find out if you like it. You have to just do it. I mean, you have to go into a factory. A lot of what I've heard from people, a lot of making cheese is just doing dishes. Because in the creamery, you have to be really, really clean, right? So you're constantly washing things and sanitizing things and washing and sanitizing and washing and sanitizing. So you have to like that. But it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot to do, but it's really wonderful. So I would never talk anybody out of it. I always hate when I ask somebody and I say, oh, what do you think about somebody that's already doing something? Oh, what do you think about that? Should I do that? Oh, no, it's a lot of work. Oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, no, you're doing it. Come on, right? So I think it's a great outlet, especially if you're, you have some family on the farm. Like, I'm really, really lucky because I have a really great team of people. My mom will come out and help wrap the cheese when we need to, or, she's out watering the garden when I can't be there. My dad's here with me all the time. My husband helps when he can. So I have a really good support system here on the farm. And you need that. You really need that for farming in general, but especially when you're starting this new business like I am with the cheese making.
Yeah, that thread of community just keeps running through all of your explanations here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it would be wonderful if we had, like, I think back in the old days, they had like a creamery on every corner, right? Wouldn't it be great if we had small farms and small creameries in each part of Wisconsin, and then people from around the world would come to Wisconsin to drive the Great Cheese Trail and taste cheeses from every region of Wisconsin. And it was just this really amazing thing. And each region was a little bit different because of the terroir. Like, wouldn't that be amazing?
That's quite the image, and you're kicking it off right here. I love it. Bill from Milwaukee has given us a call. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
Hi there. What's on your mind? Oh, did we lose Bill? All right. Bill says that Inga is such an authority on cheese that I wonder what she thinks of Velveeta. Now, we don't want to malign any particular brand, but the products you're making are real, real cheese. What about those other cheese products?
Right. Well, I still think, maybe I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, I still think that with the best cheese you can put on a burger is like the American, like the singles, whatever, the Kraft singles, because they're great for melting. It's not my favorite, to each their own, I think it's great. I think that there are certain recipes that really are great with that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to trash it. I know that I have nephews that love Kraft macaroni and cheese from the box. And hey, when I was a kid, my mother homemade everything, right? So she homemade our macaroni and cheese. She probably made the pasta from scratch too. So I always wanted to have Kraft macaroni and cheese growing up. I thought we were just like, oh my gosh, my parents are so terrible to me that we can't have Kraft macaroni and cheese. So I'm for it.
Bill, thanks for that question. We appreciate your call at 800-642-1234. All cheese accepted here with Inga Witcher here on The Morning Show. I do wonder, do farmers really see a solid financial boost from cheese making?
I'm going to on my farm because of it. For every farmer, there's a different way to farm. And for every farmer, there's a different financial way to farm. For me on my farm, I have to bring in all my feed. I am able to bale a little bit of hay. Hopefully, if it stops raining, I'll be able to bale a little bit of hay this year. So it just depends on what's happening financially on your farm, what your inputs are, what, you know, there's so much that goes into it. But I really think that this is a way that you can add a little bit more bulk to your checks at the end of the month and make a living wage.
Inga Witcher is a farmer and hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. And we're talking with her about all things dairy, from the markets to what dairy farmers are experiencing day in and day out. Also, cheese making. So what question do you have for Inga? What do you wonder about the show or about the work? Are you a fan of cheese? Have you ever been interested in cheese making? Have you tried it out? Tell us about your experience by calling 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Wisconsin is America's Dairyland, and the month of June is a national acknowledgement of the work that it takes to produce dairy products. And Dairy Month lives on despite a pandemic that's keeping us from big gatherings on farms across the state. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking about dairy with Inga Witcher. She's a dairy farmer, and she hosts Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. And we did hear at the beginning of the coronavirus outbreak, milk prices were down, and so was the demand for milk. And as a result, we saw American farmers dumping millions of gallons of milk a day. Inga, do you know of Wisconsin farmers who had to do that? And what goes into that sort of a decision?
So I believe that the reason they were dumping the milk is because a lot of the creameries are set, depends on who you're shipping milk to, right? Mm-hmm. So some creameries are set up for getting milk to restaurants or cruise ships or whatever. And with those not functioning, they're not able to package in those, I heard a great example of sour cream, like in a 5 gallon pail for some of these restaurants, right? So if these restaurants aren't buying this 5 gallon pails, well, we can't, the factories where they're making all this product, they can't just switch over to, okay, we're going to make it in 8 ounce containers because they don't have the equipment set up to make it in 8-ounce containers. So if the creameries had to shift, or the cheese factories had to shift over to, okay, wait, what are we going to do? How are we going to bottle milk now in gallons instead of like these giant, you know, containers or whatever? So the folks who were shipping milk to those places had to dump their milk because their milk had no place to go. And I don't know anyone around here. And my neighbor, I know I hear he didn't have to dump any milk. So I don't know anyone personally that had to dump any milk. But I know just from being a dairy farmer that that has to just be a really crushing thing to watch your profit go down the drain, literally go down the drain.
Right. And it's not just money, but it's the time and the effort and the care that you've taken from the beginning of the process to getting it to milk, and then you throw it away.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it's just like all that work, you know, so like what, I can get up every morning and go milk cows, just I pay for that, you know, it's just, it's really hard, but hopefully, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I really don't. Like, it's so hard for me because people will come up to me and they'll say, well, what do we do now? What's going to happen with the dairy industry? I have no idea. I mean, I'm right there with everybody else trying to figure out how to make it work. And so I wish that I had some sort of magic anecdote to tell people of this is what's going to happen in 3 years, but I have no idea. I think that we just got to figure it out together and just be there to emotionally support each other together too. This is a really, really difficult thing to go through of losing that business or just having that, all that stress just hanging over you all the time. It's just a really, really difficult thing to go through.
And how then can dairy farmers support other dairy farmers? How can people who live in cities support farmers? How does that all work together? How important is the community there?
Well, I think it's really important. I think that a lot of farmers, you know, we're working by ourselves a lot, or there's like a lot of kind of seclusion, right, with dairy farming, especially in your making hay or whatever, like you're alone a lot. And I think it's fine to open up to people, to you know, open up to somebody about, hey, this is the stress that I'm under. And in finding those helpers to even just hear what you're saying and say, yeah, I hear you. I know it's stressful. I hear that. And I think as consumers, what we can do is we can vote in good politicians that want to care about family farms. I think that's, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, let's put extra cheese on our pizza or extra sour cream on our tacos. I think we really need to vote people in who want to make sure that we have family farms in Wisconsin. And I think also like finding those places that are doing direct to consumer. So finding those farmstead creameries, finding those people who are making cheese with other people's milk and supporting them.
Okay, but just to clarify, I can still use extra cheese on my pizza or add extra sour cream to my tacos, right? I'm just making sure.
I was like cooking yesterday. I'm like, oh my gosh, I use like a lot of dairy products. And I just got done making cheese and like I had like this butter fat like on my arms just for making cheese all day. And I'm like, my gosh, I'm like just like one giant dairy product now. Like,
it's just who you are.
Yeah.
I love it. Inga, thank you so much for your time today. It's been delightful.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Inga Witcher is a fourth generation organic dairy farmer. She owns and operates a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. And if her voice sounds a little familiar, that's because she's been a guest here on WPR before. And also, she's host of Around the Farm Table on PBS Wisconsin. WPR and Wisconsin Watch are documenting the lives of Wisconsinites in this unprecedented time. They're putting together a series of audio diaries called Outbreak Wisconsin. As nursing homes across Wisconsin introduced procedures to control the spread of the new coronavirus, like restricting visitors and canceling group activities, their goal is to keep residents healthy and safe. 85-year-old Beverly Bleets lives in a senior living facility in northeastern Wisconsin, and she's been struggling to adjust to the new rules and restrictions and mourning the loss of her independent life.
My name is Beverly, and I'm 85 years old, living in a senior independent living facility in northeast Wisconsin. My husband of 65 years passed away a year ago, and Prior to that time, I'd been his caregiver 24/7 for nearly 5 years. Once it was clear that he'd never leave the skilled nursing facility alive, I sold our four-bedroom house on 12 acres and moved to independent living apartments to be close to my husband. I understand that given enough time, we humans adapt sooner or later to our circumstances, and I began to transition to my new life without my husband in a 680-square-foot compartment, I called it. I perfectly matched the average age resident here at 85, but may be unusual as being one of about 20% who still drive a car, and I love it. Before the pandemic hit, I just returned from a driving trip to Florida, and on returning to my apartment, I learned for the first time that my so-called independent living arrangement is indeed governed by nursing home rules. I'm not only quarantined, but my environment is completely locked down, and the freedom I'd hoped and planned for was not to be. I don't know. Clearly, my adjustments to small living quarters, community living among my own age group, and even widowhood proved to be incidental to losing my freedom. I totally get the reasons for the lockdown and understand what has to happen to keep me and my neighbors safe and well. And while I'm realizing that life will never be the same for anyone, I worry about how many days remain for me on Earth. And I grieve for the time that's being wasted and my opportunities that are lost. On the TV local news this morning, I'm hearing the virus has gained momentum in my state and now my county. And as a member of the most vulnerable population, I've become fearful for my family, suspicious of my closest friends, and I've become more reclusive, which God knows is not my nature. I'm a hugger. I hug trees, animals, strangers, and I tell people I love them because loving others is something that makes me feel loved. Under the nursing home governance, the rules forbid us to go to the dining room, the grocery, the pharmacy, even to keep our walks on campus. At the outset, my resentment knew no bounds, even as I'm aware of why. The leash just doesn't fit. I keep telling my adult children that while we don't have control over the virus, we do have control over our attitude toward our circumstances. Practice what I preach. Getting control of myself and my disappointment is very challenging. And I'm really tired of reminding myself to act like a grown-up.
This story is part of Outbreak Wisconsin. It's a new series from WPR and Wisconsin Watch. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.